this morning. We'll be in the passage in Hebrews that Matt read for us. If you were going to put a title on these reflections, you could say, "Wherever the sun is, we are welcome." So that's kind of where we're going. And in this passage in Hebrews, we hear a lot about a high priest. In fact, that term high priest gets mentioned five times in these verses that we read. And so we'll look at a high priest. How is a high priest chosen to serve? What role does he play? What does a high priest do? And why is he effective? And so first of all, that term high priest, it's important that to understand Jesus, we have to understand the terms of Scripture, because this is the terminology that the Hebrews writer gives to us to explain who Jesus is and how he brings us to God. And we read this in verse 16 of chapter 4. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. I'm sorry. I wrote the verse down wrong. Every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God. And from 5:4, no one takes this honor on for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So a high priest it's not by any man's initiative. It is someone chosen by God. So that means that God is the one who initiates this whole process for us to be able to draw near to him. That's an important piece. It's God's initiative. And then what role does a high priest play, though? Well, we read that a high priest will act on behalf of men in relation to God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. And so to understand Jesus, we have to go all the way back to the beginning and Israel as a nation, as the Lord's dealing with them. He had brought them out of Egypt made promises to Abraham and to his descendants to bless them, and that through them all nations of the world would be blessed. And then he drew them out of Egypt, and there in the desert, he was teaching them how to relate to him. He gave them his word for how to live what the good life was in right relationship to God and to one another. And then out of all the tribes, the 12 tribes, he chose the tribe of Levi to be the priests, to serve as intercessors that were going to stand in the gap between heaven and earth, between God and man. So they were chosen to serve as priests. And within the tabernacle, God gave very specific instructions for how it was to be built. And the priest could minister within the holy place, but the most holy place, only the high priest could enter the most holy place. And that once a year, and that on the Day of Atonement, after he had offered sins for a sacrifice for sins for himself and for the nation of Israel. So that most holy place was veiled with a thick veil, and only once a year. So if you were an average Israelite, the closest you could ever get to the direct presence of God was about 90 feet. That's as close as you're ever going to get to the direct presence of God if you're a typical Israelite. So that's the high priest is going to make atonement for the sins of the people so that the people can be God's people and God can be in their midst. And then we ask, what makes a high priest effective? Well, we read this in verse 3. A high priest, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for other people. In verse 2, we read, he can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, the priest can, because he himself is beset with weakness. So a priest chosen by God, but among men, who knows what it's like to deal with things. He said he's able to deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward. So the things that are known, that are maybe they're unaware of, they're just ignorant of what God requires, the priest could relate to them. Or those who have intentionally, they've been wayward and they've not walked as they should. The priest can deal gently with them because he knows what it's like. He's walked in their shoes. And so that's describing generally the priesthood. But the difference about this high priest, Jesus, the high priest, we read in verse 15, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So a key difference, he never had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins. He entered into the most holy place, into the presence of God, not having to make atonement for himself, but only for us. So he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. And we read in chapter 5, verse 8, that although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who would obey him. So that term, made perfect, it wasn't as if there was any moral deficiency in Christ. He wasn't lacking anything. But we read elsewhere in Hebrews, what does it mean that he was made perfect? Well, chapter 2, verse 17. He had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So he was made perfect by walking in our shoes, by putting on flesh and experiencing all the things that we experience, yet without sin. Sometimes I gave this analogy years ago of, if you think about somebody on a weight bench, doing a bench press, and the fact that Jesus is a man, he became incarnate, he put on flesh, the fact that he's also God means that he could never drop the weight. He was not going to fall. But the fact that he's man means he's actually on that weight bench and he's actually pushing the weight up. He knows how heavy it is. He was made perfect because he was tempted in every way as we are. He knows what it's like to walk in our shoes, to suffer, to be betrayed, all kinds of things. And he didn't drop the weight because he's God, but he knows how heavy the weight is because he was man. And he was there on the weight bench, lifting up the bench. C.S. Lewis, he gave this analogy. Imagine that you're in a swift river and the current is pulling you, you're about to drown, and there's a man who has one leg on the bank and he's got one leg out in the river and he's reaching out a hand to you. So now you wouldn't say, "Hey, that's not fair. You've got one leg on the bank." If he didn't have a leg on the bank, he would be of no use to you at all. The fact that he's got a leg on the bank means that he can help you. But the fact that he's in the river, he's in that swift current, he knows what it's like to be overwhelmed, and he is able to help you, so that he is God. The leg on the bank, he's able to help us, but he is man. He's got his leg in the river, and he's able to reach in and pull us out. So he was made perfect through his suffering, through experiencing what it's like as we have, yet without sin. So even when we suffer temptation, if we give in halfway through, if we can't get the bar all the way up, we give in. He has experienced it all the way because he did not drop the weight ever. And so in this passage, there's two commands for us. And the first, we read it, it's in chapter 4. It says, let us hold fast our confession. The specific things about God that we believe. Let us hold fast our confession. Since we have a high priest, since we have one who has represented us before God, let us hold fast our confession. Because Jesus wasn't just another priest in the line of multiple priests who would be replaced by others who would eventually die for his own sins. That's not Jesus. But he is the Son from the Father. And the Son, wherever the Son is, we are welcome. And so we hold fast our confession because the Son is now playing this priestly role. We read in verse 5. Christ did not exalt himself to be made high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, where did that come from? So before the priesthood, before God had chosen the tribe of Levi to serve as priest, you have to back up several generations, quite a few generations, 400 or 500 years. And then Abraham, when God made the promise to him, he was returning and he met this guy named Melchizedek, who was a priest and a king. And Abraham gave a gift to him, and he kind of appears without any real genealogy. And scripture says that Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek because he's got nobody else coming after him. He is the last one. He is the final word, the final priest. And so we hold fast our confession to this, about this priest who's after the order of Melchizedek. But our confession, we confess specific things about who the Lord is. Why did he have to come at all? Why was there a need for a priesthood at all? Because God is holy. And we cannot enter the presence of the holy without atonement being made for us, without our sins being carried by another. And so then the second command is, let us draw near with confidence. When we draw near the throne of grace, we don't draw near an altar, because the altar, that is complete. And even here, this is a table. It's not an altar, because the sacrifice on the altar was on the cross once for all, and that is complete. And so we draw near to a throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Because our high priest, he knows, he's familiar with suffering and discouragement and being tired and hungry and sick and having cuts on your hands and all these things. He's experienced it all. And so we come with confidence. And even that little word confidence, and it's two Latin words, confide, with faith. We come with faith to this throne of grace, because he deals gently with us. And wherever the Son is a high priest, he's with the Father. Wherever the Son is, we are also welcome. On a Thursday afternoon, Julie with Kindor House, she was sitting on the front steps, and I sat down on the sidewalk and in not a really comfortable position, and we were talking. And then Jubilee, our four-year-old, came and sat in my lap. And I didn't invite her to. I didn't ask her to. She didn't ask. She just came and sat in my lap. And as she did, you know, her curly hair is kind of in my face and getting in my mouth a little bit. But who else would have the audacity to just come and plop in your lap? Except a child. They have that access. I've heard years ago Tim Keller give the analogy of a king. Who else would have the audacity to wake up a king at 2 o'clock in the morning for a glass of water, but a son? But a son can do it. A son can go in there and ask for a glass of water, and the king will get up and blurry eyed and go get his son a glass of water. And so when we think about, you know, we sometimes use this language of spatial terms of with relationships. You know, we feel close to someone, or we may say that they feel distant from us. There may be times you could be sitting right beside somebody and you feel distant from them because there's some kind of maybe conflict. And yet you can be hundreds of miles from someone else and feel very close to them because of your heart, your love for them. And so this instruction, let us draw near with confidence. That is our invitation, that we draw near. And it's not a physical act, as it is a movement of our heart that is drawing near to the throne of grace. And that kind of intimacy, we use that spatial language, but it describes relationships, that we want to be intimately, we want to trust someone, and as we trust in the Lord, we get closer and closer. Our intimacy with him increases. So the instruction here is, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. So how do we do that? How do we actually draw near? And again, this book, Hebrews, is just so full of wisdom. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So we draw near to him by faith, by believing that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. That he's good. That when we come to him, he's going to let us. We can come and sit in it wherever he is, wherever the Son is, because God has an only begotten Son, and he is the high priest. Wherever that Son is, we are also welcome. He rewards those who seek him. And that's a lot like 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. What is a blameless heart toward him? It's one who trusts him. It's one who has faith in him. What he's done, what he's going to do, a heart that's blameless toward him. The Lord is looking for someone that he can show strong support to. So let us draw near with confidence. It's a directing of our hearts into the presence of God with confidence. And later on in Hebrews, we read this again. Let us draw near to God with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So that bit about sprinkled clean and our bodies washed is talking about our baptism, how we get identified with Christ. We have a union with the Son. So wherever the Son is, because we're united in him, we are also welcome. And so we might say, you know, we recognize even this morning, does that mean there's no issues in our life, no sin? Well, no, I still sin and that grieves me. I hate my sin, but my Savior bled and died for my sins. So any accusers need to be silent before me. A couple years ago, I overheard a couple of our kids and they were having an argument. One of them was trying to put an end to the argument. And he said, hush or be quiet. And I overheard that. I thought, well, that's one way to end the conversation. If you don't want to, hush or be quiet. And so I laughed. And we talked about that a little bit. But whenever your accusers come up and say, yeah, but you have all these things, you have these issues, you have unresolved stuff still in your life, then you can tell them, hush or be quiet. I'm drawing near to God because he has invited me to come. And wherever the Son is, I am welcome. So our invitation is to draw near and experience God, not from 90 feet away, but in his very presence, where only the Son can go because it's into the very presence of his Father. Because when our high priest ascended the hill, he walked to the altar, Golgotha, and offered himself once for all. And that veil in the temple that separated people from the presence of God, it was torn in two from top to bottom. And so the tabernacle, later the temple, that it was a model of the heavenly reality. And our high priest has entered heaven itself and the presence of God itself, which means, again, from Hebrews 12, you've not come to what may be touched. He was talking about Sinai, whenever God gave the law and people were instructed not even to get close. You have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg and no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, it's been applied to us, that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And so we come to him. And as we come, we have a relationship. Verse 9, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We draw near And he speaks to us still. He has instruction for us. He has good works prepared in advance that we should walk in them. He has a relationship with us, and he's going to continue communicating with us, and the expectations as we draw near, we listen to him and we do what he says. So again, if you are in Christ, then let no sin or guilt or shame keep you 90 feet away or further or any kind of distance. You're not just outside in the temple courts, but draw near to the very presence of God because of the Son who has come. He said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I'm going to ask Leah to come up. We're going to do a song. It's printed in your bulletin. I encourage you just to read this as she sings, and let the song apply this word to our heart this morning.
Oh God of grace, how often have I been made? How seldom have I seen thy face? And little do I know how much I need thee, and time again to away. Lord, how my heart is hard and dumb beneath me. For all I've done undone. Your love is not enough to receive me. My soul draws back up, says come. Oh, he will not cast you out. He will not cast you out. Whoever enters in will forever dwell within. Draw me in, faint heart, draw me in. Oh, the serpent you held from me. Oh, Father, when I sin against my neighbor, I turn away from every son who died to call us friends when we were strangers, and says to every sinner, come. Oh, he will not cast you out. He will not cast you out. Whoever enters in will forever dwell within. Draw me in, faint heart, draw me. Oh, what's to fit you well on here? O Lord of light, you call us out of darkness to turn aside from sin. As prodigals, we come to you for pardon. O Father, Father, take us in. Oh, he will not cast you out. He will not cast you out. Whoever enters in, forever dwell within. Draw near, faint heart, draw near. Oh, God so fits you well, come here. Oh, he will not cast you out. He will not cast you out. Whoever enters in will forever dwell within. Draw near, faint heart, draw near. Oh, God still fits you well.
All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. From Hebrews 7:25, He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He, our High Priest, always lives to make intercession for them. Thank you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.